Blog Talk Radio.
I am smart. SMRT. I mean SMART.
19.
Hit me.
20.
Hit me.
21.
Hit me.
22.
Don't!
We shouldn't feel out of sorts because we probably had a lot of Halloween candy yesterday. Not me. But, of course, if you did and you're recovering tonight, hopefully you're listening to us. Welcome to page one. I think this is now probably the normal Friday time, I think. Question
mark. Have we decided that?
I don't know. I think right now this seems to be the normal time that we're kind of meeting with you. It's either now or probably like an hour from now, but I think 10 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock out on the West. If you don't know who we are, I'm LeVar, and the person that you heard asking me was at the time. That is Mary. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
It is...
You sound tired.
Yeah, it's Friday. It's the weekend. It is the beginning of the month. It is 60 days until, like, the end of the year, which I don't know how to feel. Now, one of the topics tonight will kind of be about the holiday, because somebody, like, sent me something today. I didn't know how to feel. But we're going to get to that. But just to get a little housekeeping out the way before we even go further into the show, hopefully you are following along with us on Twitter, especially at NewsCommentBTR. And, of course, Mary is always over at...
Blue Eyes Mama.
We're working on it.
Get it.
She's over there. Of course, we also have Facebook. We've also got Instagram. I think all it's missing is a Snapchat.
Oh, don't get me started on that, no.
You have an issue with Snapchat?
I have issues with technology. I'm
old. I thought you had something against Snapchat. You know what? Snapchat was the last thing that I would actually. The funny part about social media, Facebook was first, because Facebook now showed me something that I posted 11 years ago, which I didn't think it was that long. And then today, as I was selling in here into Blog Talk Radio, I was reminded that I started doing shows on Blog Talk Radio on November 5th of 2010. So it will be nine years.
Happy anniversary!
Yeah, look at that.
Happy anniversary.
9 years.
Congratulations.
Yes, I think. There were a couple of those years was probably spent halfway here, halfway there with everybody. But and then I think Instagram came next. So I don't know. You know, I remember back in the days of MySpace. This actually did come up. I'm going to ask you, how long did you have your MySpace?
I don't know. It was a hot minute, though. It was long enough to actually get really deep into it, but long enough that I think I still might even have the sign on for it.
Really?
Because I don't think that I could ever get it deleted properly. Because in order to delete it, you have to be logged onto the email, or to change the email on it. You have to log into the email that you're changing it from. I was like, but that's not my email anymore. I got rid of it. So I couldn't.
Of course,
somebody out there that has my old email is probably getting spammed.
Of course, for anybody that's the age of, like, 18, they're probably going to, like, my what?
Yeah.
I don't know. it's kind of like, which do you prefer? I kind of miss the days of MySpace because it seemed a little bit more like comfy cozy. You could like, it wasn't as cumbersome, I think, as Facebook. Snapchat, while I love it, it isn't really, it's more like texting somebody because that's really the only way you can do it. At least like through MySpace, you could send like messages, do all this different stuff within like the, your, I don't know, I think I liked it more, but I don't know why it died out so badly. I don't. We'll have to think about that as I probably go on my own meandering thoughts about social media, but that's it. That was not a 2-minute rant, by the way.
Squirrel.
But we do have a little bit to cover, and I will actually be the first to admit to you, the listening audience, that normally we have quite a few stories that we have in place for tonight. I don't know if it's because we're entering on the holiday season and folks are trying to be good, but I don't really have a lot tonight to share with you. And I don't want this to just be like a 30-minute show, which is where it originally kind of probably almost could have went. But if you bear with me tonight, I actually have a little bit of a game here that using a website that I haven't been on in years, it's almost kind of like a did you know, but that's if we have time for this tonight. We will play this game. I think we probably will. Hopefully you'll like it. But anyway, as I was saying, if you're following us on News Comment BTR, of course, tonight you can tweet along with us using the hashtag Page1BTR. Even if you're out and about, don't be shy. You can always call in, 563-999-3779. Tell us what I'm going to be very careful here. You can engage us tonight if you want to call in. Now, when it comes to probably like talking about different topics, we'll tell you if we want to talk about it, but not. But actually, the first one is a sports one. And I've mentioned this throughout the day. And if you have been under a rock, you know that the big thing, and I know for Mary, who is a big fan of NCAA football, and I guess you can tell the folks out there if they don't know who you cheer.
Oh, Michigan, Wolverines, that is my team right there. And it will be for a very long time. I am a fan.
She is a fan of Michigan, so don't call in here and, like, talk bad about Michigan because she will probably ask that you get promptly, like, dumped.
I don't know about actually, dumped, but I definitely would say hung up on.
Well, in the radio business, we'll call it dumped. But
given the
that's
hook.
What we usually pretty much do. Actually, by the way, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it, I know your favorite person, Urban Meyer, who coached at that other school, what do they call it, the other school to the...
The school down south.
Yeah, the school down south. Even though I don't think... Well, it's not directly south-south, but it is south of Michigan. But anyway, there are reports tonight...
It could be hell for all we know.
Yeah. There are reports tonight that USC will do whatever it takes to land Urban Meyer. Now, this is a guy who's had, like, so many different, like, stages in college football. I thought he was done. But... He could be coming back, and he could be going to USC because they're pretty much offering to unload the Brinks truck to get him.
I've heard a lot of different people be like, hey, he should go back to, or hey, he should finish his career at, or hey, he should. I know he's actually doing color at the Big Ten. Oh, it was on Fox. Yeah, he was mm-hmm. doing color. Well, you know, I don't watch, so that's I see his face, I turn his hand. As sad as this is, this hurts deeply, but he actually does a pretty good job. Some of the sayings are a little bit annoying, but he does a good job of explaining it to the people that don't understand a lot about football. So if you didn't grow up with football, if you're not a big fan of football, if you're first coming to football, especially college football, which is different than NFL, then he does a good job of breaking it down for you. And that hurt.
Is that kind of like a hurt, as in me probably from time to time saying that Joe Buck is actually kind of good from time to time, just not all the different times?
Yeah, same kind of hurt. Same kind of hurt, yeah.
You know what's bad. You know that you are not well received by people when you don't even do a game and people still thought you did and they still get on you. During the World Series this year, which congratulations to the Washington Nationals, I think it was game 3 or game 4, Joe Buck did not do because he was slated to do Thursday Night Football. So he wasn't even doing the not the World Series, but it was an ALCS or something like that. He was slated to do the ALCS. Didn't do the game. People still thought it was him. And we're on Twitter just ragging on him. It's like Joe Buck's not even doing the game if people were watching at home. But, yes, I don't know what they were watching, but, yeah. Anyway, I digress. Speaking of NCAA athletes, the huge thing this week is about, of course, NCAA athletes being able to make some money off of their likeness. You'll say, LeVar, this is a sports story. Why are we kind of having it on page one? Because, one, we don't have a sports show yet. Two, it's a pretty big story because the repercussions from this will pretty much kind of reverberate, I think, throughout college football and maybe even amateur sports for years to come if things happen the way it happens. But, of course, there's one person who doesn't really want to see it happen. According to Fox News, Representative Anthony Gonzalez, a Republican from Ohio, said on Thursday that the NCAA shifting its stance to allow college athletes to profit on their name and likeness needs to have, quote, guardrails that protect the integrity of the game. Speaking on Fox, he did say that if this turns into play-to-pay, or this turns into a world where the athletes are employees of the university, I think that fundamentally undermines the system. I think that's the wrong direction. And he thinks that there should be a federal law or a national standard so that athletes aren't making decisions on where to go to school based on which state's law they favor the most, and that he's working on the legislation with Senator Marco Rubio from Florida and Representative Emmanuel Cleaver from Missouri. And a lot of athletes, especially with the NCAA this past week on Tuesday, saying that it would permit college athletes to profit from their name, image, and likeness, reversing their long-held opposition to the concept of allowing amateur players to earn income. And the NCAA's Board of Governors told its three athletics divisions to update their bylaws to address the stance on the matter. And, of course, once you hear the NCAA say this, that this is probably going to be something that will take probably a year or two before this even happens. Hopefully it also means a return to NCAA football on PlayStation, but that's another story for a different day. But my question to you tonight, because this now – I don't know why this – I'm a little bit on the fence about this. I mean, I understand and I get where people are coming from on this, but I would think – and plus, before you say, LeVar, the NCAA is a billion-dollar business. I know. But at the same time, I get the likeness thing because that's your name and that's them that are, you know, pushing that out there. But I think it's kind of like a choice. If you're going to school to get some type of name recognition, especially if not everybody's going to be a professional athlete, not everybody's going to go on to play in professional leagues. But a lot of athletes pretty much go to school for that reason. They go to the big schools. They go to the Michigans. They go to the USCs. They go to the Notre Dames so that they could be playing on Sunday or wherever. And meanwhile, you're getting room and board and other things. And I know that they want to hold on to that, getting their share of the pie, but in a way, are they asking for too much, or do you think there should be some type of payment for use of their likeness?
I think there should be. Okay, I'm kind of like you. It's a very fine edge that we're walking on with the NCAA, because you're also dealing with it's supposed to be about college and education and preparing you for your future. Now, the argument will come down to some of them are preparing for their future. Some of them are going to be playing professional football, or they'll be playing professional whatever sport they're in. And because they're going to be, that is them preparing for it. I've always been the proponent of they should get some kind of stipend for that, so that they're already, let's call apples what they are. They're apples, you know. They're getting other things. They may not be getting specifically cash payment, but boosters were always over there. They were like, hey, you can always borrow my car anytime you want. It's a Ferrari Testarossa. Yeah, of course I can afford it. You come to Ohio State. I doubt that's what they have, but you know where I'm going with this. You want a Bentley? Come down to Florida State. We'll make you a Seminole. It is what it is. It's always been that way. I don't know if this is going to make it better or worse, and that's where I'm having the iffy, like the hesitation. I do think that they should get some kind of, you know, there should be some kind of reciprocal, like. Not reciprocal. What's the word I'm looking for? My brain is not working. But they should get some compensation for being able to use their name and their likeness to forward their school. But that compensation should come from the school, not from me. Unfortunately for me, when I go out to a game, I'm paying for the ticket for the game. I'm paying for the boosters to be able to put up the flyers and the TV stations and all that other stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to a UNLV where it's only $30 a ticket to go watch, and I'm spitballing. I'm not even sure what the ticket is, but I'm not going to that. I'm going to a Michigan game that's going to cost me $150 a seat up in the nosebleeds because it's playing Ohio State.
Gotcha. Well, you know what? We actually do have a caller on the line. I was going to ask if they wanted to kind of like chime in on the first story, so I'm actually going to bring you on if you don't mind. And hello, caller, you there?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, all right. How are you? What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Tianchi. I'm calling from the Midwest. I'm a grand alumni, or grandson who attend LSU.
Oh.
And, sorry, Michigan. But anyway.
Yeah, it's all right. Some of us can make mistakes. It's okay.
Well, he plays baseball for them too. So. But anyway,
good game.
This started in California.
Yes, it did.
Yes, and you know, everything unimaginable comes out of that state.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, and I wonder, will a player be allowed to do images of themselves in a team's uniform? Because if that's the case, then the school should be getting compensated. So I would say that if they are allowed to do that, they have to be in plain clothes and not in the school's uniform. And then what the heck, who's want to, what are you going to associate them with? Nobody knows and recognize the name, hardly a few, and it just looked like another athlete. And here's another point. This covers all sports, women's sports also.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but what about women's sports where you have a transgender competing? Now what?
Well, I don't think it's more so that. I think it was more so about the athletes themselves getting paid for, you know, actually being a part, you know, like their name and likeness, you know, like with the video games and with the, remember back in the day with NCAA football, we all knew, you know, if somebody was put on the cover, you know, athletes kind of wanted that residual from that, or, you know, from other things that the NCAA does, if they use a likeness of the player, that's where they wanted to get paid from that. I don't think too much it had to do with the sexual orientation of, but I think it was more or less them using or getting their likeness used by the NCAA.
Yeah, well, suppose you have a video game under women's volleyball, and one of the players is a transgender. What goes on with that? is a male.
I think that would end up going, yeah, that would end up going back to the video game developers and whether or not they want to make sure that you know that they're transgender. The big thing would be prior to this change, you wouldn't be able to use their name or likeness, so you just have to say, you know, like, player A. Where now, or the player wouldn't get compensated for their name or likeness, so they would, again, go back to player A. Where now, they might be able to, and with a transgender playing on, let's say, women's volleyball, if allowed, if that change is over, and that goes into a video game and they use it, then that person would end up getting compensation. I think that's what they're trying to say. And that's like what I said, we're really walking that fine ledge of, fine edge of whether or not that's
it is
appropriate.
Yeah, it is a fine edge. And I suppose you have this person, and in behind him is the rest of the team. What does the rest of the team also get compensation to? If you see this person running a play and tackles land on the ground behind him, are members of the rest of the team. The numbers and everything is clearly visible. So
exactly.
Yeah, this
exactly.
Isn't
it's
cut
not,
and dry.
It's not just one individual. It's not like, hey, yeah, you've got your breakout star, but I'm sorry, a running back can't play. You can't play a half of football by yourself. So
mm-hmm,
you have the rest of the team
there. And by no way is it cut and dry. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, issues that's going to arise, and a lot of aha moments. But I'm still contending that if they're going to be posed in the team's uniform, where you have Alabama, then the team is going to want something out of this also.
And I think that's where the NCAA will probably go back to, like, hey, we're giving you room and board, so that's your payment right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing, these states, if they're playing a game, well, I don't know how that would work. Would a state charge them taxes on what they make?
I think that was what the senator was trying to do, because some players might go to states where they may not be any taxes, and they could probably recoup a little bit more. So they're trying to, you know, like if Florida said, hey, come and play here, it's going to be tax-free, you know, and then compared to probably like going to Mississippi State where you're going to get taxed probably like 10%, you know, that could be like a hit on Mississippi State, and everybody's going to be going to play to Florida. Not that that's already happening, but, you know, they don't want that to happen. So, yeah, there's a lot of work that's
going to
happen.
And not only state tax, what about local tax, too? You
that,
know,
too.
Yeah, players play the St. Louis Cardinals. They pay an earnings tax to the city of St. Louis when they play a game. So it's not cut and dry, and I really don't want to see the federal government have anything to do with this, because if they get involved, then, oh, baby, look out.
I was going to say.
All right, fellas. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I know what you're getting ready to say. You're absolutely right. And it perturbs me, because now they're going to get their federal dollars anyway, but I hate to see the federal government get involved. Leave that up to the NCAA. They could been handling it pretty well since their conception, and I'm pretty well sure that they can continue doing a good job. Anyway, you guys can take your show back over.
Thank you so much for calling. Thanks
so
much
for
listening.
Have a good night. Thank you.
All righty.
All right. So yeah, there's a lot to be done here, in which you know, we don't know where that's going to go, and it's a topic that is going to be talked about quite surely here over the next year or two as the NCAA looks at it. I guess me personally, I think that if it does come to, say, video games, or if it comes to, like, usage on, you know, different promotional items, I do think that athletes probably should get a little bit of something, but now you've got to work into just how much, and then, like you said, like our caller wonderfully pointed out, if you have somebody and the whole team shows up in the photo, how do you compensate for that? That it's a lot of different questions going on with that.
Exactly, yeah. It's going to have to be talked through, and unfortunately that's a deep hole with a lot of what ifs to figure out, you know?
Yeah.
It's just,
so, yeah, I did not, you know, and that's one thing about sports, because it even makes the thing here, you know, it makes you kind of think and it makes you kind of talk. But If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Page One here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm LeVar, that's Mary. You can follow us, of course, me over at News Comment, BTR on Twitter. Mary is over at Lou Eyes Mama. Of course, I always link Mary on there so you can catch us on there. You can also tweet along with us tonight, Page One BTR. Or if you'd like to talk about different topics that we're discussing tonight, 563-999-3779. I was mystified this week, but I'm not surprised. Whenever there is an opening to something, people show up and they show out. This week in Arizona, or last week, now that the story has kind of gained some steam here, White Castle opened up in Arizona. If you're not familiar with White Castle, us here in the Midwest, and I'm pretty sure our caller, are well aware of White Castle hamburgers. Been around for close to 100 years now, pretty close.
Has it really been that
up,
long?
Huh?
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, I think it was 1923, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to get the correct date of birth, because, of course, we want to be accurate here. But I know White Castle has been around for a long time. By the way, White Castle, I think, really was the first. I know for years they usually did things for Valentine's Day where you can bring, like, your Valentine. You ever taken on a date to White Castle?
No. I've never been on a date to White Castle. A date has taken me to White Castle after the date was over because we were both going to be hurting in the morning, but no, that was not our date destination.
With that, just one thing to remember. With the White Castle opening up in Arizona, they actually had quite a few people, and they estimated the wait time to get their famous burgers at about 3.5 hours. This was after it opened up. So imagine people standing in line for about 3.5 up to 6 hours just to get a White Castle. And at that point, 500 people were still in line, extended far outside, and White Castle actually had to change their game plan a little bit. It was supposed to be open for 24 hours. They actually had to shut down at 1 o'clock in the morning, restock, get everything back in order, open back up at 5, and then start all over again. And so when I saw this story, my question to I do have the correct date. I think it was 1921, according to the history of White Castle. So almost 100 years for White Castle. But my question to you is just how long would you wait in line for something? Or would you, well, first of all, would you? And how long would you actually wait in line? Because I don't know if I could stand in line and I could wait for like 3.5 hours. Actually, this is how probably, I'm not calling anybody dumb, but if you're living in Arizona, wouldn't you drive to Vegas and go to the White Castle there?
And if then, you found out it was 3.5 hours, depending on how far you were, yeah, why not?
Because in that time that you're waiting, if you were waiting up to 6 hours, you could have drove to Vegas and back, probably, and got your White Castle. But is there anything
and
you'd wait in line for? Would you wait that long?
Not for White Castle. I've had White Castle, though. So I wouldn't wait that long for White Castle. And we discussed this a little bit on our side discussions that happened. But for food, absolutely not. There's nothing that I would wait 3.5 hours for. Now there's been times when I've had to wait because we've made a reservation and the stinking reservation ended up getting pushed back. But that's a different story. We've got nothing left. But no, I'm not standing in line for food for 3.5 hours. Or
so what
material possession. There's two very specific things, and I'm only going to name the one. And there's only the one that I'm going to name is a ticket to see Hamilton. And that was the only reason that I stayed. And I did wait in virtual line. But I was also, actually, I think we only ended up waiting about, I want to say it was only about 45 minutes in virtual line. But those are, at least for this area, because of the short run that it was having and then the limited amount of seats, there weren't going to be, there was going to be a lot of people trying to get in there and get in, and watch the show. It blew up, and that's and that was a, it's a big show. Great production, by the way. Anybody that wants to see Hamilton, highly recommend it. Loved it. It was really great. But that was the only thing that I really waited. And that was even then, that was in virtual line. So I'm laying in my bed just kind of waiting for my little guy on my screen to say, hey, you're at the front of the line. So it wasn't even uncomfortable at this point. But, yeah, concert tickets, maybe, especially for if they were, like, the last run or the last time somebody was going to play or, you know, there's a special concert, a 10-year, 20-year, 30-year anniversary concert, maybe, definitely. Yeah, that's about it, though. That's all I waited in line for.
I would be intrigued, and I'm going to ask you to probably hold on to that second thought because I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, but we do have another caller on the line. So I'm actually going to bring up the caller, and I'm actually going to see if they want to chime in on what we're talking about tonight. Hello, caller. Did you want to add something to what's going on here? And what's your name and where are you from?
Yeah, this is Naj. I'm in Atlanta.
Hey. Oh, hot Atlanta.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Nothing much. And before you begin, I know that you guys probably had – did you guys have, like, bad weather over the last day or two?
Yeah, it's
probably
cold
not.
Right now.
Wait a second. What's cold? Let's back up. What is cold for Atlanta?
It's about 30, almost 40.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. I'll give you that.
Grab the winter coat. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I just fixed this up real quick. First of all, White Castle is nasty, just for the record, just so everybody knows. That's not really an opinion. That's just a fact. They put onions in the burgers off the rip before it even touched the grill. It's nasty. But the second thing is, like, this is like a new thing as far as, like, fast food and cheap stuff where people line up like that. But the reason, and you'll be able to see this, you know, you'll be able to kind of congratulate me in a few weeks, but take it what it is. But you'll see this with fast food restaurants. At your grand opening, that first week, they'll have what? High standards. The wait times won't be as bad, and the food quality will be totally different from what it's going to normally be as a regular fast food joint. Because in a couple of weeks, they'll be worried about time. With customers, and, you know, everything will be soggy and, you know, what we typically get from a fast food place. But that first week or first 2 weeks when they roll out, things will come off of that line fresh and ready, and it'll taste like it's supposed to, in theory. Mm-hmm. So you got to give people that when it comes to the fast food stuff like this that you're talking about. So I've seen this before because I've lived in a few small towns. So, you know, where they'll be like, oh, we got a Chick-fil-A, and it'll be like an event for them. So they'll be lying the hell up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, that first couple of weeks, it's going down. But after that, it's a problem. You know, it turns into typical fast food, and then you'll never see a line again. But
you know
that's how this works, man.
That's funny that you say that because I agree with that because there was a barbecue joint that opened up here outside of Chicago, and everybody was all excited. When they opened up, great food. After about probably 3 or 4 months after all the hoopla died down, when you went back in there, smaller portions, and it was like a lot more fat on the ribs. It wasn't the, like the nice meaty ribs that you had before. It's like right afterwards when all the hoopla dies down, that's when it goes to crap.
Yep.
So what you're saying is wait 2 weeks, people. Wait 2 weeks when they've got it dialed in and they actually give you what they're going to give you and not what they say they're going to give you.
It'll be back.
Always hearing from other people because I've been meaning to get to Atlanta. I've never been to Atlanta. Now I guess if I'm going to be going to visit there, and I needed to get like the best like burgers or food in Atlanta, where could I go?
Well, burgers probably the Vortex. It's a really good place for burgers. You'll like them. I guess another good place to try Flying Biscuit. It's breakfast. They close pretty early, but it's like breakfast, brunch, and, you know, that kind of thing. But it's really, really good. So try those two out. Don't listen to people telling you to go to the Varsity or Waffle House. Don't do
no.
it.
No. You know, they're both terrible. I've heard about the Varsity. I was always going to say the Varsity, and I was like, oh, now you just, oh.
Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. It's really
don't
bad.
Go to the Varsity. Gotcha. That's a good travel tip to know. Well, no, you are correct, though. I agree 100% about new places. And, yeah, for you folks out in Arizona, yeah, just wait until a couple of weeks from now. It's going to be different, I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
Now, before I go, I wanted to ask you, so what were you talking about with the college kid thing?
We were talking about the latest NCAA with them allowing students to profit off of the use of their likeness, because it's pretty much been a hot topic here, I know, for years. It seems to finally be picking up some steam. But there's a senator that kind of wants to put, like, some parameters around that, because he fears that with students being able to make money off their likeness, and you know that certain states probably won't tax as much if that happens, that it could cause some students to pretty much go towards those states where, you know, the money might be a little bit more better than going to probably like other states where they can't really match that and get, you know, tax less. It's kind of like NBA players where, you know, for a while a lot of players were going down to Florida to play because of the taxes compared to going to like other places. That's what their fear is.
Yeah, you mean like right now where guys go to – all the best guys go to certain schools to team up with?
Yeah, yeah,
the like,
same thing happening now, which I couldn't understand when he said it. But I was like, okay, if you really want to get on that ball, I guess so. But players are already going to Alabama. They're already going to, you know, all the top schools in Ohio State and going here and going there. So, yeah, it's not going to change much.
Yeah, that is called coded language. And in that coded language, what's really being said is, shout out to Bomani Jones, who always plays that clip. This is something like prostitution when it comes to athletics and college football and basketball. So in their mind, if you give the product money, they're subject to go crazy. You're subject to lose somewhat control of them, because the whole thing was you're always holding this over their head, the potential to go make money as a pro. So while they're at your school, you just basically use them as a device to pull money from for your institution. But if you give them money, then maybe you lose some of that control. Maybe that kid doesn't want to do 5 o'clock in the morning practices. Maybe he doesn't want to go to those study halls or go to the glad handing little meetings with alumni or the fundraiser you want to use him for, you know, things like that. So this is where a lot of this hysteria goes. Like, because if we just honestly think about it, if you go to work on Friday, you expect to get paid. Like, these kids are working a job, essentially, and everybody else is getting paid except them, which is the craziest hustle ever. If you look up the guy, Walter Byers, who came up with the idea of student-athletes and everything else to create the system, I mean, he called it what it was, and it's basically like, you know, sharecropping. So you've got the players, and you're making all this money off them, but you don't want them to enjoy any of it. So it's a weird thing, and we've normalized it for so long, like it doesn't even seem weird to us. Meanwhile, every state you go to, the highest paid state employee, head football coach or head basketball coach, or the Board of Regents, everybody's making 150 grand. The bowl games and the NCAA events, everybody's making money off it. The local, you know, car dealerships and all this, you know, they're giving cars to coaches. Hell, this even goes down to a local bar. Man, if you want to see a fight, tell somebody on the wait staff they're not working on college football Saturday. And somebody else is getting that shift. Man, people will be ready to choke each other to death because it means money for them. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
Everybody's making money except the people who are actually responsible for the money to be there. So it's you know what I mean? It's damn near bordering on, like, human rights violations. The fact that you've got kids doing all of this, everybody's making money, and they can't have an outside job on top of it. So it's like the system is, you know, ripe for what? People to pay under the table and to have, you know, agents and all of the other dirty stuff that they say that they fear. But it's like you're encouraging it by not having a system put in place where people are getting paid and, you know, they don't want to lose that position. So it's – I know I said a lot, but this is, you know, this is a tough topic that really bothers me, man.
Yeah, and it's a hot topic everywhere. We do appreciate the call, and thanks for listening tonight.
Indeed, man. You have a good one. I'm going to hang out.
Yeah, thank you.
You too. Take care.
Sure.
Yeah, so it is a hot topic along everybody. You see, you start that topic.
It's sounding like we need to start a sports show real soon is what it's sounding like.
You know what the amazing thing is that I do, and hopefully soon we will bring back up the sports show, and I'm just looking for a night and a vehicle to pretty much do this, because sports in America, whether it's amateur sports or whether it is professional sports, the great thing about this is that everyone has an opinion, and a strong opinion, about the athletes that they watch or that they pay good money to see. And mm-hmm. it amazes me every time. And I listen to a lot of sports talk radio nationally as well as here locally in Chicago. And if there's one thing, and this is so, I don't know if it's sad, but if it's one thing that people are so invested in or are so emotional about, it's sports. If you, whether it's in your
it's
team,
really
but it's a wonderful thing.
It's a
thing.
Safe topic too, if you think about it. It's one topic that, although there are some things that could be controversial, there's so many mm-hmm. less controversial things about sports than there mm-hmm. are in other topics. We'll do it that way.
But I know if there is one hot topic, it is this. It is NCAA athletes making money, because you could be that former athlete that's on that side of, you know, hey, I think we should, or you could be that person that's like, no, I mean, you're, you know, getting this, 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 and this in order to get, you know, free publicity so that you can further your career. And no matter mm-hmm. who you talk to, I mean, every viewpoint on it is valid. And
mm-hmm.
until someone
oh,
can
yeah.
come along with, like, the best way of doing this without tipping the scales on amateur, and my worry, too, is that you and I both know that when something like this starts to spread, a lot of people want to get their hand in it because it's money.
Mm-hmm.
And
then it gets,
when
it
you
gets
get
really
your hand
sometimes.
In that, it becomes messy, and then it's not going to be long before you have that one college program that went too far, and they were already
mm-hmm.
doing bad stuff under the table. Now it's out in the light, and now, you know, that quarterback that you, quote, gave that extra $200 to, you know, because he appeared in a local commercial, now it's, you know, NCAA is going to come calling and say, hey, we think it's wrong. The fans are going to think it's right, and it's going to cause a huge issue among other teams, because they're going to be like, hey, we can't pay our athlete $200 to do that commercial. We can only give them this according to your standards. And it's like, where does that standard lie?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where the issue is going to be. But I'm not going to leave you hanging on your last answer here. What was the second thing that you were going to be waiting in line for?
Oh, like I said, there were two very specific things. It was Hamilton, and then the rest was concert tickets, like, as a group. So,
gotcha. Now,
I already answered it.
First of all, I'm in agreement. White Castle, I could probably go anywhere. I'm not going to go as far as our last caller, even though, yes, White Castle does have, because I don't know, I'm looking for sponsors here, so I don't know whoever sponsors behind White Castle. Anyway. It could have some adverse effects, but
mm-hmm.
I am not anything bad. That's the public opinion. I agree with the public to write that opinion. I'm not going to say anything bad about a potential sponsor. So one of the other things that I was probably going to talk about here tonight is something that every year I think I get a lot of people with different opinions on this, almost as controversial as NCAA athletes. So today, I got a wonderful, wonderful snap from my little sister, who had shown me that they were playing Christmas music where she was at, above on the loudspeaker. And, you know, I mentioned November 1st today for a reason. In years past, you and I pretty much are used to Christmas music starting when? Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving.
Day after Thanksgiving, yep.
Nowadays, things seem to be picking up a little bit quicker and a little bit sooner because I think as late as mid to late September, stores were already switching over to, like, Christmas stuff. And today, Kohl's had announced their Black Friday sales. And then not too long after that, Amazon kicked off their holiday deals with specials all the way through November 21st. I guess my question here tonight is how soon is too soon? I don't want to seem like the Grinch. We just got past Halloween. It's November 1st. Now, I like Christmas music as much as the next person. I just think that November 1st is a little bit too soon. What do you think?
Well, we didn't even get past Halloween when this started. I mean, I was in stores looking for Halloween decorations. Granted, it was a little late. You know, it was after my birthday on the 15th of October. And I'm looking at, where are the Halloween decorations? Oh, we moved them to clearance. We needed to make room for the Christmas decorations. What?
Mm.
Like, oh my gosh. So too soon, yes. There's that meme that's out there that has the three different, like, they have the, they've got Santa Claus, the turkey, and a jack-o'-lantern, and they're all racing down the track, and it's like, stay in your lane. I really think
right.
It should. I really do. Halloween is October. November is Thanksgiving. The day after Thanksgiving, by all means, Family Day, Black Friday, whatever you want to call it, that day, go balls out. Do it. Fake snow and elves in my face, ringing the bell, midnight, the day after Thanksgiving. Yes, absolutely. But
I don't want to sound like a Grinch here because I get it. People get excited about the Christmas holidays because it's time of like remembering all the good things when you were small and you were growing up, and then there's the whole thing of giving, which I'm all for. I wish every day was like Christmas. Sans the music, sans the commercialism of it, but I just kind of.
Ding, 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 that's the point. It's not necessarily the holiday itself. The holiday itself, my God, I'd celebrate Christmas spirit, the Christmas, that feeling, every day of the year. Absolutely. I am not a Grinch. I do enjoy Christmas. However, I hate the commercialism of it. And now the commercialism of it has bled into Halloween. At this time, 5 years from now, I'm going to be celebrating 4th of July, and they're going to be making room for Christmas decorations. It's not going to be right. It just that's how it feels. It's like, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Don't force me to the end of the year yet. I've still got a couple of months. Let me get there.
Gotcha.
It's the commercialism of it. It has nothing to do with the spirit.
Gotcha. I agree. I mean, wholeheartedly, and I'm not going to beat this topic like a dead horse, but yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, maybe we will find some way to work in some Christmas music or Christmas things, but yeah, I'm not going to do that just yet. It's a little bit too soon. So we've got a few minutes here. If you want to call in still, 563-999-3779. You know, I think when we do shows like this where we actually get callers, I love it. I love it when you guys call. Love it when you have something to say. One of these days, we may even extend it out to like 2 hours and just do like a call-in.
mm-hmm.
So I got a few minutes, and, you know, normally when things kind of happen and there is like a little bit of extra time here, we in the business have to do something that's called filler. And I will tell you this week, all we had was those few topics to talk about because the fourth topic, didn't want to really discuss it. And, of course, as you know, our stand on politics right about now, not really going to go there. So one thing that I used to love a long time ago was reading or going to different websites just to kind of like – I'm an info nut. Love, like, far out information on different things. Do you remember back in the day a website called The Smoking Gun?
I don't know that I've ever been to that website.
Okay. So pretty much The Smoking Gun used to have like a lot of different weird, wild stories on there, things that funny, some things that made you scratch your head. But one of the other things that I used to love to read was the – so for your favorite celebrities, when they go out, they have something that is given to the arena or wherever they're going to be ahead of time called a rider. So riders are usually a list of demands or things that the act wants. I'm always amazed, but, you know, like some rappers might want like a bunch of condoms or some Hennessy or like J-Lo, she had to have roses and it was white roses and it had to be a room temperature chilled room. So,
I always ask for my brown M&Ms.
Yeah. So tonight, I did not tell Mary about this earlier. So I was going to ask her to probably name for me probably a favorite act or someone. I'm going to look up and see if they actually have a rider, and then I'm going to read off what their rider actually states. So concert time, you're going to a concert. Is there anyone in particular that you want to see?
Somebody that I'd love to see live again would be Janet Jackson. So let's start with her.
Wait, who is it?
Janet Jackson.
Oh, Janet Jackson. Okay. Janet Jackson. All right. So I'm going to look up Janet. We'll find out and see if she actually has a rider that's in here, because I'm actually kind of – because I actually did see, and you've seen her, and we've seen Janet in concert here. Let's see. Did they have something for Janet? Actually, they do. They've actually got two. The latest rider that they had was for 2011, but I'm just going to pull up one of the old riders that she had here. So for Janet Jackson, one of the things is when she went out on the road, this is all live, folks. So her folks had where they needed a section one of her rider. In all cases, they needed one interpreter to four workers required, a piano tuner, a doctor, a nurse, and a masseuse, one qualified electrician, a pyrotechnician. As for the catering staff, males are preferred. The number of people required is to be announced. I get it. She wants the guys around. I get it.
I'm not mad. She was a big act, so, I mean, she still is. But, I mean, I don't blame her.
Of course, like the normal things of stuff that's not allowed in the arena. But I'm kind of also interested, too, like, let's see, no fireworks, no banner poles. I get that. So the tour will be carrying its own washer and dryer. They will be installed during the load-in and removed during the load-out. We will need a water connection for the washer along with the electrical for the dryer. It says, you've done it before. I guess they probably had some issues with people actually connecting the stuff up. They will need the promoter to provide a dry cleaner to be prepared for approximately 30 pieces of wardrobe. They'll be available the morning of the show day and required the same afternoon each and every show day. All rooms must be clean and odor-free and have active heating and air conditioning. A production office, which called for banquet tables and chairs, a management office, and for the dressing room for Janet, they want a lockable team-sized room with all facilities and running hot and cold water, 8 comfortably, including sofa, love seat, easy chairs. It says, and comfy, please. The room must be carpeted throughout, clean. It must have a banquet table, a telephone line with an RJ11 connector. If there's any charges for this stuff, the venue has to pick it up. The dressing room for the male dancers and female dancers pretty much just had a banquet table with linens, chairs, and electrical outlets. For female singers, they had a separate room. Like, a bunch of stuff. This is a police escort. a source of fuel for the trucks and the buses that travel with the tour. So you've got to provide fuel as well. As for catering, they had to provide meal tickets. And they're in favor of recycling, so you had to recycle. All day you had to have coffee service, hot water for tea and hot chocolate, a selection of soft drinks. It says we drink a lot of diet, spring water, iced tea, Gatorade. No particular food here, but the band and the crew gets covered. Clean, crushed, and cubed ice. And a bunch of other things that you wouldn't see to believe. But if you want to read all of that, definitely go to the Smoking Gun. You will find all of that stuff there. There's, like, the list goes on and on. It's like every performer. I love the writers because they're interested to see like how these certain people were. But yeah, that's all Janet wanted. I think J-Lo was probably.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, didn't say what type of food, so I'm guessing that they will work on that as they go along. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, there we go. But with a few minutes remaining, I was going to ask you, did you have any shout-outs this week or anything you wanted to add?
I guess there was. We're going to be watching a band competition tomorrow, so anybody in the Las Vegas area, swing out to Sam Boyd Stadium, catch some high school and college bands and just see, you know, have a good time. Marching bands with Color Guard, hopefully. Support your locals. And other than that, no. ALS walk on Sunday. So if you can donate to ALS, go ahead. I'm not raising money for that one. I'm just going to be walking, just participating. So, but other than that, I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned those things because this is the time of year where, of course, and I know a lot of people probably they've heard enough by the time we get to this end of year, but always remember that this is the time of year to especially – you want to do it all year round, but to remember those who are less fortunate. I do know that a lot of businesses and jobs usually this time of year does coat drives or they will do food drives. It doesn't cost much to help out. And –
sometimes all you need to do is
that,
be supportive.
Yeah. You know, if you can go and waste $5 on a lottery ticket for one day, you can, or if you spend $6 at Starbucks every day like I know some people do, think about probably not doing it one day and probably doing your own coffee and taking that $6 and spending it and probably helping somebody less fortunate. So hopefully it makes the world a little bit of a better place. Not telling you to give $1 million because we all don't have $1 million. Not telling you to do even 10. But sometimes it's just a little bit or smile or words of encouragement. And hopefully that begins the process of some sort of civility again.
Mm-hmm.
But with that,
need
I do
more love.
Think, yeah, yeah. Please, we need it. You know, they say that song, what the world needs now is love. I mean, if it is any time that it needs it, it's now. So, but I do want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank our callers for calling tonight. Of course, I always thank my wonderful co-host, Mary. Follow her on Twitter at
Blue Eyes Mama. You will get it.
Yeah, follow her over there. And, of course, follow us at News.BTR. But thanks so much for listening. Of course, we will see you again next Friday night, I think. We'll be here.
I think.
Next Friday night, God willing. But thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you then. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Chris, you go. What should I go? What should I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.